So let me read the story for you again from Luke's Gospel, and then we'll just explore this very briefly together this morning. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As they approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her, and when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were filled with awe and praised God, saying, "A great prophet has appeared among us. God has come to help his people." And this news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Must have been quite a moment, don't you think? Must have been quite a moment on that particular day to have been there. I mean, on the one side, as was kind of drawn out in the mini drama that we did, on the one side, you've got a group of people who are deeply grieving, deeply sad. On the other side, you've got a crowd who are excited and joyful and expectant. On the one hand, you've got a group of people who are really reeling from the news of the death of this boy, because in those days, they would have buried people the same day that they died. So this is fresh news. It's like just happened maybe a few hours before. And on the other side, you've got a group of people who are just reeling at the amazing teaching of Jesus, the signs and wonders he does, the latest of which is that he just spoke a word from a distance and a young boy was healed. And these two things collide, absolutely collide. Emotions collide. You've got sadness and you've got joy. You've got defeat and you've got victory. You've got loss and you've got restoration. You've got despair and you've got hope. You've got turmoil and you've got peace. You've got weakness and you've got power. You've got death, you've got life. You've got beauty, a brokenness, and you've got beauty. And they just collide. And in a sense, this is what social action is. Right? It is the action done in response to the needs of others, whatever those needs might be, bringing help, bringing relief, bringing beauty to brokenness. If you were here last week, you would remember that social action is primarily an act of compassion. Right? And compassion is a kind of love that we experience, which drives us to reach out to other people when they're in need. When people are lonely, when they're hurting, when they're broken, that compassion drives us inwardly to reach out to them. So I want to take this little word compassion, and I want to break it into three other words and teach very briefly three very simple lessons. The first word is pass. Or more importantly, do not pass. Do not pass. It would have been so easy, don't you think, if Jesus had just stepped to one side. I mean, it must have been kind of awkward in my mind as I imagine the story. I think it must have been a little bit awkward. Here you've got this group of people, they're crying, they're wailing, they're dressed in black, and Jesus has got his group of people that are jolly and excited, and they're coming up the hill, and it would have been so easy for Jesus to just say, "Hey, listen, let's just stand to one side, and let's let them go past, and once they're out of the way, then we can all go into the town and carry on doing what it is that we want to do." But he doesn't. He doesn't just pass by. He stops. And it strikes me that this lies at the very heart of what social action is all about. It's not passing by. It's taking time to stop with people. It's taking time to immerse ourselves in whatever it is that people might be experiencing, the loneliness, the broken, the hurting, and so on. And what Jesus does for this widow of Nain, he's done for each and every single one of us. Did you realize that? Jesus has stopped for every single one of us. You may be thinking at this point, you may stick up your hand and say, "But hold on a second, Stu, when did Jesus stop for me?" He stopped for you about 2,000 years ago when he came and went to the cross and died on the cross. You see, in that moment, when Jesus died on the cross, he was stopping for you. He was stopping for me. He was coming to us in our brokenness, in our loneliness, in our shame, in our guilt, in all of the mistakes that we make, in all of the rebellion. You know, the Bible, I say this over and over again, the Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In actual fact, in one place, Paul says that while we were still sinners, while we were still hating God, Jesus came for us. He came and he died on the cross. In one sense, he was saying, I'm not going to pass you by. And in that moment, offering us an invitation, offering us a hand and saying, hey, listen, I will bring beauty to your brokenness. I will bring righteousness to your sin. I will bring peace to your chaos. I will bring healing power to your sickness. I will bring a transformed life to your life that just keeps going round and round and round in circles. I'll bring hope to your despair. All of these things, Jesus says, he doesn't stop. I guess the question is, will we? See, it's one thing to say that Jesus has stopped. He hasn't passed us by, but I wonder how many of us continue to pass Jesus by. How many times he's offered the hand of salvation to us, the hand of grace to us, but we just keep passing by and passing by. I'll sort that out later. I'll put my trust in Jesus later. I'll become a Christian later. I'll follow him more wholeheartedly a little bit later. And he doesn't pass. I guess the other thing is, it teaches me from this here, is that he won't pass you by this morning. Whatever the state of your heart is, whatever the state of your situation is, Jesus is not going to pass you by. If you're feeling weak, he's going to bring you strength. If you need healing, he's going to bring healing power to you. You need salvation, he'll bring that to you. You need hope, he'll bring that to you. All you've got to do is just respond to him. Say, so Jesus, I don't want to pass you by. As you've stopped and waited for me, I don't want to pass you by. Do not pass. The second word is passion. I love the picture, don't you? I love the way we got the picture to work. Jesus takes his heart and he holds it towards the woman. And I think his heart goes out to her, the Bible says. And I think in that moment when Jesus' heart touches her heart, he feels her pain. He feels her distress. He feels her anxiety. He feels her worry, all of these things. It's interesting, the Bible, the word for compassion means to literally to feel somebody else's pain when they're suffering. Another word is to feel a gut-wrenching pull on the guts when somebody else is in need. That's what compassion means. And maybe Jesus stops with her because there's a lot of similarities, don't you think? I mean, this is the only son of his mother that has died, and Jesus is the only begotten son. He sees this woman wailing and weeping, and he knows that his own mother is going to wail and weep. As Simeon said, a sword will pierce your heart as well. Maybe he looks at the boy who's dead and said, well, he's died for the glory, and the glory of God is going to be revealed as a result. And he knows that as he dies, the glory of God will be revealed through him. Maybe he looks at the boy and knows that this is going to end in resurrection, and where he will come to will end in resurrection as well. Or maybe it's because there's just something inside him that says, this is not the way it's supposed to be. God has sent me to bring life, abundant life for all people. And so all these things of death, sickness, suffering, pain, disease, injustice, slavery to sin, it's not supposed to be. And so there's something inside of him that just moves him to want to do something, to bring the kingdom, reign, and rule of God into this situation so that this woman need no longer suffer. I wonder if you're moved by a similar passion when you see people who are lost and lonely and broken and hurting. Are you moved by a similar passion? Do not pass. Passion, the last one is compass. Now the compass I'm talking about here is not the one that you use in maths to draw circles, okay? The compass I'm talking about here is the one that you use to find direction in life, to point you in the right way. Maybe you're out, I don't know, in the woods or whatever, and you're trying to find your way on a map. You need a compass to point you towards north. Exactly the same way, we all need a compass in our lives to point us towards Jesus. Paul says, set your hearts that on things above, set your minds that on things above, because as I've been hinting at over the past few weeks, sometimes we don't always stop, do we? Sometimes we don't always have passion stirred up within us. And sometimes we think, I wish I stopped more often, and I wish I had more passion for the lost and the broken. We need to set our hearts, get a compass in our hearts, and set our hearts towards Jesus, and he will work this in us and work it out of us. You see, I believe that compassion is a gift of the Spirit. In Romans chapter 12, it uses the word mercy rather than compassion. But the mercy that is being spoken of here, which is a gift of the Spirit, is to respond with action when we see people in need. To move when we see people in need. And so we pray, God, the Holy Spirit, would you touch my heart with the compassion of Jesus so that I won't pass by, so that I will stop, so that my heart will ever be pointed towards you to show grace and compassion and love and mercy to those who need it.